Welcome to the Hospitality Forward podcast with listeners in more than 160 countries worldwide.
My name is Hannah Lee. I am president and founder of Hannah Lee Communications, an award-winning global PR agency specialized in hospitality and travel.
And I'm Michael Ann Stendick, editor-in-chief of Hannah Lee Communications, as well as the award-winning co-author of The Japanese Art of the Cocktail and the food and beverage writer. Helping the community has always been part of our agency's mission. We understand that a lot of business owners, bartenders, chefs, sommeliers, and others might not have the resources to hire a PR agency. We believe everyone has a story to share, so we created our podcast where our listeners can get to know leading reporters and writers and start building relationships.
Each week, these top journalists from around the globe share their practical advice on how hospitality and travel industry professionals can be featured in their stories.
In fact, one of our loyal listeners got featured in the New York Times after listening to our podcast and following our media guest tips. So, you could be next. In addition, we give away a copy of our agency's book, The Japanese Art of the Cocktail, to a listener who shares how our podcast helped them tell their story to the media. Simply email us at hello@hannahleecommunications.com, have Hospitality Forward in the subject line, and share the tip that you learned. And now, on with the show. In this episode, we're delighted to chat with Asta Sambichian-Clausen. Asta is an acclaimed freelance journalist and author who covers spirits, travel, hospitality, commerce, interior design, and fragrance. Her work has appeared in numerous publications such as National Geographic, Travel and Leisure, Hotels Above Par, and Men's Journal. Asta was an honoree of Cherry Bomb Magazine's Future of Food 50 list in 2023, and her book, The Live Life Now List, was published by Simon & Schuster in 2022. A dual citizen and proud member of the AAPI and LGBTQ plus communities, Asta is the founder of the sapphic bar concept, Grotto.
Hi, Asta. Welcome to the show.
It's great to see you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Asta, you are a very accomplished freelance writer. So was it always your dream to be a journalist?
When I was a little kid, it actually was my dream to be a photojournalist. So I wanted to do both the writing and the photo when I was a kid. Every year for my birthday, I would get little digital Kodak cameras from my parents and take pictures of animals. So different, a little different from what I do now, but, you know, on the right track, I think.
So you were born and raised in California, and your grandparents, I should say, who were Thai and Filipino, lived with your family when you were a young child. So how did their cooking shape your palate and passion for food?
I've talked about this on a podcast before, and actually my mom got really mad at me. She was like, Asta, I did cook for you. She would cook for me sometimes, but she's that kind of home cook who only does it once in a while, but she'll blow it out of the water. So maybe she won't make anything for a while. And then all of a sudden she's making duck a l'orange. But really it was my grandparents who would kind of cook for us every night. And, you know, being Thai and Filipino, obviously those flavors mix really well together, but they aren't often thought of as being together. So I think that instead of cooking specific dishes from each of those cuisines, it was more about the general like ingredients and then them really iterating on them together to create delicious, easy at-home dinners. And I think that's really translated to how I cook at home and just translated to me being obsessed with shows like Chopped, where they're all, you know, given a couple basket items and then they have to create something fun and unique, you know, out of whatever is just on hand. And I think that's generally how I cook at home too. So definitely a big influence.
So you contribute to National Geographic, Men's Journal, and Hotels Above Par, which are all very different. So Can you tell us about each publication and the topics that you contribute?
So I actually used to be on staff with National Geographic. That was my first job. I first started in the PR side of the channel, so kind of adjacent to what I do now, but I moved from PR after only 6 months. Hannah, I have an enormous respect for what you do because PR is so tough and it's like a well-oiled machine. And I quickly realized I was like, I need to be on the editorial side of things and moved over to news. So I wrote a lot about environmental news. Now that I have started writing for them again, it's more travel content and mainly commerce, really. I also do commerce for Travel and Leisure, and then I do commerce for Men's Journal. Men's Journal commerce is more stuff that you would give, you know, your mom. I actually have a story that it's like a 50 item story that I wrote for them for Christmas that I now update for every holiday, like Valentine's Day. I'm working on an update right now for Mother's Day. And it's the best gifts to give your mom from the best son. So I'm that best son. You wouldn't know it, but I do think that that is kind of interesting, maybe for brands or for PR to know that there are journalists who have these lists. And I'd say that's a good thing always to pitch, is updates to a list, or just sending product for consideration for upcoming lists, because those things are always going to have to get updated as new products come out and things get outdated and stuff like that. But besides that, I do a lot of travel content and booze content as well.
Can you walk us through your creative process from coming up with a story idea to pitching your editor and then seeing it published?
I mean, I think it depends on the subject. For travel, a lot of that does come from press trips. So I will get pitched by a publicist. That might be anything from a hotel to a spirit brand to a travel board, really anything. And I'll go on a curated trip. And there are some publicists that will ask for coverage up front. I prefer not to do that because I think it kind of takes away some of the integrity. But most of the time, you know, you'd go on the trip, find inspiration, figure out what the true angle is of a story. And I think that's the great thing about freelancers going on press trips as well, is that you're not limited to only thinking about a story from one angle or thinking about a story from the voice of a singular publication. You can also think about it from so many different angles and really like either niche down for one or zoom out for another. When it comes to booze, I think it has to start by tasting. Either visiting the bar, visiting the restaurant, getting sent a bottle and trying it for yourself, having friends over and seeing what their reactions are. And I get a lot of story ideas actually for things like interior design or things to do in New York from social media. Like, I think TikTok is a huge source of inspiration for me now, and a really unexpected but organic one. I'll see something on TikTok and be like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. And it'll be something that really hasn't hit yet. It could be a small creator or, you know, just someone who's running around the city and just trying to find things out every day. And so I think that that's a fun place for journalists to get inspired right now.
Yeah. I mean, I personally get inspired on TikTok because I learn a lot from there, from the channel, and from educational, you know, posts to entertainment.
She wakes up to it. She goes to sleep to it.
Yes, I'm a TikTok girl.
Oh, me too.
So, Elsa, you had a great article in Inside Hook on a bar trend that's now coming home, namely the Japanese listening bar experience. And you had some really great tips on the best audio gear to purchase, not to mention some excellent spirits to sip while savoring the music. Mm-hmm. So what other top trends are you seeing in bars these days?
I think that something I'm seeing in bars and just in hospitality in general really does echo kind of what I was trying to even do with that story, which was create like a multi-service platform in one story, you know, so you're not just getting one thing. Like, I love anything that kind of presents an intersection of value, which I think is kind of the future of some types of writing. But I also think that that is really the future of some types of hospitality as well. You know, you're seeing it with places like Travelers, Poets and Friends that just opened in the West Village, that is a market and a bar. And then they just opened an Italian restaurant, or there's a place I just got pitched on that's upstate that is also like a multi-purpose space. And I think that that is really becoming a huge trend, is places that create like a really curated experience, but they feel almost like a little mini Disneyland of sorts, like one-stop shop. I think another trend is really the listening bars, like a place to go where you're not just focused in on getting an amazing drink. I mean, hopefully you are getting that too, but you're not just paying for that. And I think we all know that in New York, anytime you're getting a great cocktail, it's going to be a pretty high price. So it's nice when you go to a place and you have like that extra kind of added layer of experience, like you are listening to vinyl or you are listening to a DJ who's spinning. And so I think that's definitely a big trend.
And we also enjoyed reading your story about the Hotel San Fernando in Mexico City for hotels above par. So looking ahead, what other cities are you looking to cover and why are they intriguing you?
I'm glad that you called that specific story out, because I wanted to give a shout out to my friend Brandon Berkson, who founded Hotels Above Par.
Oh, we love him.
The best.
The best.
And I think that that is such an amazing trend too in media, is the niching down as well of media outlets and creating like these smaller independently run publications that are really service oriented. But anyways, I wrote that about Mexico City. I think that Mexico City is obviously like totally blowing up right now. I think that tons of places in Mexico are really on the come up. I just wrote a story about San Miguel de Allende, where I went last year for Day of the Dead. And I think places like that are really going to start hitting, that have that mixture of charm and safety and delicious food. And I think something I loved about San Miguel too is just how walkable it is. There's no public transit system to figure out. Like, you can rent a car if you want to go out of the city for a day trip, but I love cities that feel like you can really just wander around them all day, like Copenhagen, and you feel kind of like insulated, but you're always looking around and seeing fun new things.
Definitely. Yeah, we are huge fans of San Miguel, and we visited there 4 times last year. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's a very walkable city, but not in the high hills.
Yeah, well, it's a good little workout.
Not a place to bring your high heels with you.
I actually brought high heels there, and I ended up always having to... Actually, my partner had to carry me. Because the cobblestones.
Oh, yeah.
They're serious.
I actually I called out in my story. I was like, if you go to this location, bring your walking shoes, because I almost broke a heel multiple times in that city, but it was worth it.
You want to circle back about the hotels. So as you and us have something in common, that is, we love hotel bars. And, you know, I really enjoyed reading your article on the best hotel bars in New York City in Inside Hook. And we appreciate you including our client, the Portrait Bar at the Fifth Avenue Hotel. And we can't wait to go back with you. But in the meantime, what kind of trend do you see in the hotel industry that you find it interesting?
Well, first of all, I loved the Fifth Avenue Hotel, and I actually just went back there for the Savoir print relaunch party. And I was up in the, obviously, the event space, and it was so charming. I love every aspect of that hotel. I think a trend in hotels that I'm loving is kind of a step away from the sleek, kind of boring, modern business traveler vibe. I think that people are realizing that big box hotels and clean slate decorating is really not attracting travelers anymore. I think more and more travelers want to see the destination reflected in their accommodations. So I think that even for larger brands, I think they are also tapping into that and bringing in art and bringing in design or collaborating with locals. And I think that that is something I only want to see more of, for sure.
In terms of your writing for the remainder of the year, what are some of the stories that you're going to be working on?
Well, I am traveling a lot this month, so can definitely expect some stuff coming out from my travels this month. I haven't even pitched any of it. I'm just going to see kind of what comes out of it, but I'm going to Jalisco with Tequila Ocho, and then I'm going back to Mexico City. Obviously, I've been spending a lot of time there, and then I'm going straight to Ecuador with Cotopaxi. And so I think that that is actually an interesting thing, is like journalists being able to kind of double or triple up their travel and make things work for them, depending on the place that they are in the moment. So me being able to kind of like hop, hop, hop with very, very different brands or very different angles, I think is one of the things that I personally love about being a freelancer. So being able to go with Tequila Ocho and learn about like agave growing and tequila distilling practices, and then going to, you know, the Amazon, we're going to be trekking through the Amazon and staying at a lodge that you can only access by kayak on the river. And we're going to be doing homestays, and we're visiting the actual Cotopaxi National Park. And hiking and stuff. So it's going to be, I don't know how I'm going to pack for this trip, but
leave the heels at home.
Yeah. I'm like, but what about those 4 days in Mexico City? I'm going to, Hannah knows, as a fellow petite lady.
Mexico City is just such a fascinating city. And we love Mexico City.
Between the food, the art, the drinks. It's amazing.
I mean, everything about Mexico City is fascinating. So
oh, yeah.
Enjoy your trip. And when our listeners in the hospitality and travel industry are ready to pitch you, what are your top tips that you can share?
Yeah, so I do have some tips, but I want to call out something that happened recently, and I thought it was really smart. I was in Mexico City writing a story about the evolution of cocktail bars for Men's Journal. And I was reached out to on Instagram by, technically it was a PR person, but I think that this is something that anyone can do in hospitality. Certainly a restaurant owner, bar owner, hotelier could reach out to a journalist on these social media platforms. And he was just like, I noticed you're in Mexico City. Would you be interested in coming into Maison Artemisia? And I was really impressed by that, just because I was like, wow, that's some next level stalking. but it worked. Yeah. And I think that the main thing for that is, if you are going to be reaching out to journalists or influencers, whoever you want to try to come into your bar or restaurant or hotel, if you are reaching out on social media, just make sure that your profile really represents your brand. Because that's the first thing that I'm going to do is, oh, well, what is this? I'm not going to go onto your website immediately. I'm going to obviously click on your profile. And if you only have a few photos, or the branding doesn't necessarily reflect your service or your space, then it might be a quick no. I mean, everything on social is just so fast. And I think anything having to do with pitching is, you're vying for a second of people's attention. And it's the same thing for me, even as a writer pitching editors. You know, you have to think about the hook. You know, why present something when you're reaching out to someone of like why they would want to come in? You know, what's the why? And I think also one of the biggest things is the now. Why now? Finding a timely hook, because I will get pitched on a place that seems amazing or looks beautiful and has been around. Maybe it's a legacy brand, or it's just a well-loved local spot and has been there for 10 plus years. But for me, having a new spring menu or something isn't a big enough hook for me to want to come in or want to try to pitch it, because I already know that an editor is not going to care about that. Saying like, oh, we do brunch now. Like, that's not going to be enough unless it's like a really popular brand or a really, really like beloved space. I think that you really have to come up with an idea, and it doesn't have to just be because you changed something. It could also have to do with what's hitting at the moment in the news cycle or in the trend cycle, calling out something that your customers already love, but you know, maybe it's piquing more interests now than before.
So Alista, you're not only a prolific journalist, but you're also a budding entrepreneur. You're the founder of the Sapphic Bar concept Grotto. Can you tell us a little bit about how it came about and where you see it going?
So Grotto is, like you said, a sapphic concept. I think a lot of people probably don't know what that means. It's actually a word that is derived from the name of the Greek poet Sappho. And she was kind of known as being the first, I don't know about the first, but very well-known queer poetess. And so it's kind of this inclusive term that just means that you are queer and identify as female, or maybe just identify as queer. I think that people have different definitions of the word, and I think anyone who wants to use it definitely can. But the cocktail bar concept is just to create safe space for queer women, or really anyone who feels kind of left out of the traditional demographic of gay bars. So basically anyone who's not just a cis gay man, really. And it's kind of crazy because there used to be over 200 lesbian bars in the country, and now there's only about, I think, 24 standing today, which is really sad and pretty wild when you think about it, especially because I think in the last 10 years, especially with Gen Z and with the pandemic happening, there's been such a movement of young people coming out and really like so many more people coming out as being pan, fluid, you know, all of these different things within kind of the rainbow banner of being queer. And there's really no good spaces that provide our community with a date night spot, a place that feels upscale and comfortable and beautiful and has delicious cocktails to savor. And, you know, I think a lot of spaces in New York would be considered safe for sure. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a space created for the queer community. And I think that establishing that intention is really important in showing, you know, that there are spaces that are made for the community. So I did a pop-up for the first time last January. It was January to April with Soho House at their Lower East Side location, Ludlow House. Mm-hmm. Since then, we've done collaborations with Talaya, which is the first women-owned and women-operated brewery. And then we did a smaller collaboration with the Rockefeller Center at Pebble Bar over the summer. And that was more of like a concert series. But I'm looking to bring back pop-ups for May and June this year, which I'm really, really excited about and I'm hopefully announcing soon. And then I I mean, my main goal is to open Grotto as a permanent location. So if anyone is looking to invest in a woman-owned, queer-owned space, hit me up.
It's very inspiring to watch you doing what you do. So, you know, we are big fans.
You guys are the best.
And since you're such an expert on drinks, what do you see as the next it cocktail?
Ooh, the next it cocktail. That's really tough because I feel like we're still in the time of the martini. I do think that people are leaning towards that savory kind of vibe. So I don't know what like the next iteration of that might be, but I definitely feel like people are moving towards savory cocktails. You know, last year there was like the mushroom cocktail that started popping. There was the pickle martini. Something I've been seeing in New York is just tons of martini specials. Like I think people are trying to get in customers to get kind of like higher volume orders through the love of the martini, and obviously mixing that in with like other savory elements, like an oyster special. I will say that's an easy way to get me in the door.
Oh, yeah. Us too.
So Austa, we call our podcast Hospitality Forward because we are looking at the future of our industry and celebrating its amazing people. In your opinion, is there any one person or organization that is innovating and moving our community forward?
Yes, definitely. I think that the relaunch of Savour in print is so inspiring by my friend Kat Craddix, who was the editor and then purchased the publication. And I think that that whole story is so inspiring. And I think it kind of goes along with what I was saying about Brandon, and who's also very inspiring and moving things forward on the hotel front. I think that like the future of hopefully hospitality writing is going to be so much more grassroots in a way. And for the people of the people. And I really am hoping that that direction for hospitality writing is going to be qualitative and less SEO click driven. And I think we're all trying to figure out ways to monetize editorial in ways that don't feel icky. And I think that Kat is trying to figure that out for Savour in really amazing ways. And meeting her team at the party at the Fifth Avenue Hotel was amazing, and they're also inspirational. So I'm really rooting for them and rooting for the future of hospitality writing to go in that way. I want print to come back for sure.
Us too. So looking ahead, what country is on your bucket list to visit and why?
Honestly, Ecuador has been on my bucket list since I studied environmental science in college. And when I was at Nat Geo, I was actually toggling between the idea of going into editorial or going directly into environmental. And I was going to be trying to get in a research assistantship position in Ecuador. But then I ended up getting my full-time at Nat Geo. And so I stayed instead of applying for jobs, you know, trying to measure microplastics in the Amazon. Very, very different routes. And it's crazy to think about how our career decisions really like influence the path of our lives. I think it's a huge full circle moment for me that I'm going to be going there this month and kind of combining all of my interests. So I'm very excited for that.
Congrats.
Yeah, we are excited for you. So let's talk about cocktail. So what is your favorite cocktail and why, and who would you like to share it with?
I mean, I need to stop talking about martinis, but on that front, I do love just a well-executed martini, or really a well-executed classic in general. Obviously, a delicious Negroni, or in that same vein, Boulevardier has always been one of my favorites. But if I were to have one cocktail anywhere with anyone, I think it would definitely be an ice cold Vesper martini which uses half gin, half vodka. So I think it has like that perfect balance with that lemon twist. And I would have it at Duke's, which is a classic cocktail spot and hotel in London. I went there when I was writing about martini experiences with Sipsmith. I went with them to Wimbledon a few years ago, which was an amazing experience. But I would have one there with my grandpa, who has passed, but he's always been such a huge inspiration for me. And he studied, he got his PhD in London. So I think he would make one exception, even though he didn't drink. he would make an exception to have a Vesper with me there. And plus, you have a 2 martini limit at Duke's anyways. So I think it would be perfect.
Yeah, and not to mention, if Alexandro can make a martini for you and your grandfather.
Oh, yes.
He's a magical to watch.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He makes that place.
Yeah,
seriously.
His passion and dedication to what he does in bartending, it's just absolutely inspiring.
So are you.
Oh, thank you. You too. You too.
So before we say goodbye, what's the best way for our listeners to reach you?
The best way for them to reach me is by email, but they can also definitely reach me on my Instagram at Austa Clausen, or you can run into me somewhere in New York.
Great. Well, Austa, thank you so much for chatting with us, and what a treat.
Thank you so much, guys. This has been really fun.
Thank you.
Let's get drinks together soon.
Yes, absolutely. Soon, please. Soon, soon, soon.
Now that was a fun chat with Austa. Now that you know what Austa is looking for, please feel free to reach out to her and introduce yourself. And don't forget to mention that you heard her on our Hospitality Forward podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your friends and colleagues. And be sure to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your favorite shows. Also, for all media guests to date, you could find their information and episodes on our agency's website, www.annaleecommunications.com.
Until then, join us as we move hospitality forward together.